years when Hannah was little and didn't have much hair. Finally, Ruth Ann had enough hair to make a little knot on the top. And Addison had reached it. I used to call Hannah the Cannibal King because you'd watch those cartoons that show the cannibals and have like a little bone tied up on top of her. So Addison has made it. We're thrilled to death. All right. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to go to verse 15. Peter Cornelius, would you pray for this service, please?
Father, thank you for this opportunity to come to church today. I thank you for everyone that made it here today. I ask you to bless the Lord today. In your son's name, I do pray.
Amen. Amen. All right, so Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now, this is one of these things that can turn into church discipline, but shouldn't. Okay? And it has to do with two people who have a problem with each other. And all too often when two people have a problem with each other in the church, I think of that 1961 song, I told every little star just how awful I think you are, you know, instead of how great I think you are. You know, you go around and tell everybody, well, that Kyle, you know, you just can't trust him and whatever else. And, you know, he just bugs me. He's just doing everything wrong or whatever. And people tend to talk about those things. And the thing to do is go straight to Kyle and say, Kyle, you know, this thing you're doing, it's bugging me, all right? And hash it out with Kyle. Go over it with him. Let him know. So if he's offended you in any way, shape, or form. And all too often, again, it just begins to race and people begin to talk and concisions form and that kind of thing. Now, let me tell you something. That's music to my ears to hear a Koontz baby crying. Now, it's not music to her ears, but it's music to mine, all right? All right. There is just nothing like coming here during the day and seeing 18,000 Koontz children running out here and there doing stuff, and I love it. All right. So, go to your brother, take care of it. Something I learned from Sammy Allen, and it's this. When you hear that a brother has something against you, somebody's saying something against you, he himself would not let any grass grow under his feet or anything else, but go straight to that person and say, I understand you have a problem with me. Okay? I understand you have a problem with me. And he says most of the time it's just solved quickly doing that. Sometimes it escalates. Well, let's get it over with quickly. All right? Let's get done with this thing. All right? I hear you have a problem with me. All right? Take care of it that way. Or if you're not going to take care of that way, just endure it, some stupid little thing or whatever, all right? But don't talk to other people about it, okay? That's what you don't do. Either go talk it with that person or leave it alone. All right. Now, verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee two or three more, that is in the mouth of three witnesses, every word may be established, all right? So, the persons, you've got aught with this person, he's doing something against you. Now, really, the Apostle Paul picks up on this very same theme in 1 Corinthians 6, where he talks about going to law with thy brother. Okay, why would you go to law with someone? Why would I sue Kyle Beal in a court of law? Because I feel he's cheated me, he's done something against me, all right? And so the point is, the Apostle Paul says, you don't do that. You get the church to judge it. You get a couple of people together and say, look, you know, Kyle and I, we had a business deal together. And, you know, when it was all said and done, he divided the Tootsie Rolls. And he got three, I got two. It's just not right. All right. And you go to him and you know, and he doesn't care. I'm getting the extra Tootsie Roll. All right. And so, you know, now I'm tore up about it. I'm going to file, a lawsuit against him. No, the point is, go get some other people. Now, they're going to want the Tootsie Roll themselves when it's done. But the point is, go get some other people and say, look, he's not treating us right. Now, I'm exaggerating, obviously, being funny with Tootsie Rolls. But, you know, brethren sell cars back and forth to each other. All right? Brethren sometimes do a business deal together, something of that sort, and it can turn ugly, it can turn awful, it can turn into something that shouldn't turn into. And the idea is the Apostle Paul will go for, in fact, real quickly, we're going to come back to Matthew 18, but go to 1 Corinthians 6. He's going to pick up on this very theme, and he says this: dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? So I'm angry, Kyle and I, he sold me a car. I don't think the car is what it's supposed to be. I think the odometer's been tampered with. He didn't tell me, he told me the brakes had been fixed. Lenny says, no way in the world those brakes have been fixed, all right? So I've got a problem with him. I go to him, and he just won't hear it. It's too late now, buyer beware, whatever else, and he won't hear it. I'm upset with him, okay? If that was in the world, you take him to court, all right? And and you have proof that he lied. But it's not in the world, it's within the Black Creek Baptist Church, okay? So the point is, I'm gonna go get two or three fellas and say, now, Kyle, I realize you just shut me off real easily, thank you very much. I really shut me off awful easy, but this really bothers me a lot. I can't afford to have a car with all these problems, all right? You told me this was taken care of. I have two or three people listening now, all right? Kyle goes ahead and he can either lie through his teeth or he can say, look, I just don't care. You should have been aware of that. You know, when I talk about fixing the brakes, I was just making sure they didn't have babies. I was talking about normal fixing type of thing or whatever else. But, we had this discussion. Now the point is, those people I brought, let them be the jury. Let them decide what ought to happen with us, okay? Now, you know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, before Kyle gets kicked out of the church because he won't listen to anybody, the best thing would be just allow yourself to be defrauded. Allow it to happen. Well, I'm just going to let everybody walk all over me. Well, I'm not going to let Kyle walk all over me again. All right? You know that old thing with the Smothers Brothers, And Tommy, why'd you do that? The oboe player told me to do it. What if he told you to jump off a bridge? Would you do it? Not again. All right? But the idea is there are certain people who come. Let me tell you something. Especially in the Black Creek Baptist Church. We have people at different stratas of society who come in here, okay? We have people who are not out in the business world. The money they have is not money they've earned, okay? It doesn't mean the same to them as it does to you who've earned money. If you watch them with money, you'll realize it doesn't mean the same, okay? They don't handle it the same. They're not used to business transactions out there. I remember one lady, who used to come here. She hasn't been here in a long time. I still bring her before the Lord in prayer. But she would come and ask me for things. I have a lot of people ask me for things. And my usual thing is, if you ask me for something, I'll bend over backwards to give you what you ask for. I mean, I'll do whatever I can to see to it. You've asked me for this. You come up and ask me for something again, I'm going to be a little suspicious. There's a problem here. We're going to get to the bottom. Why are you asking me for these things, okay? And it dawned on me that when she would ask me for things, she thought of me as a social worker, okay? Because they go to social workers, and why does a social worker give them something? Not because they like them, because you filled the form out right. You filled the form out right, you checked all these boxes, we know these boxes are true, therefore you get this. And she used to come and she'd be so upset with me that when I wouldn't give her something, and because in her mind she filled out the forms right, and you try to explain to her, I'm not a social worker. I'm a live human being. I'm a pastor of a church, okay? But we have people who, when they first come in, have no better idea than that, okay? We had a problem, for example, down at Giant Food Mart. Someone went in, took some stuff, charged it to the church account, and then forgot to give anything in, okay? And again, it all got caught. It was all fine. That person came and talked to me. But again, it's somebody who's not used to having charge accounts. It's somebody who has no idea what it's like to have a charge account somewhere and be able to go in and get things on credit. They're not used to doing that whatsoever. And so when you have a church like this, you have to realize we have all sorts of people mixed in here together. OK. okay? And that gives a responsibility, one, on the people who are learning, okay, to learn, to up their game, but also for the people who've never lived, you have no idea what it's like to live that way, okay? You didn't grow up on welfare. You didn't grow up with split parents. You didn't grow up, I think of Art Linkletter, and the kids say the darndest things. He said he overheard some kids talking one time, and once in Hollywood, somebody said, "Who's your new dad?" And he said, "Oh, you'll like him. I had him last year," you know? But there's people who grow up with that, all right? And that mix around all that. And they're in here in this church, okay? And they don't know what a normal nuclear family is like. My nuclear family, a mom and dad, children orbiting around them. They don't know. They never had that before. They're learning from you, and they're going to make all sorts of mistakes. And the point is, we're a church. We need to come together and handle that, and handle that with the church. So it's one of those things that, you know, if things go wrong between people, okay, sometimes it's a cultural difference. Now, if we had Vietnamese, Africans, Mexicans in here, people, you know, from New Jersey or something like that, you know that there, even then, you know, there's cultural differences, okay? There just are, all right? Leanna's from New Jersey, but she's adapted, all right? But the thing is, it's cultural differences. But right within Allegheny County, there's huge cultural differences. There's families who will never mingle together. Okay. There's families who are never going to socially see each other. And then you come in here to the Black Creek Baptist Church. We're all part of a common family. Okay. And you have to learn that. John Wesley invented the social worker. A lot of people don't know that. He invented it because he would go into an area and he would preach to coal miners, men who never take a bath. To give you an idea, for example, Queen Elizabeth, it was figured, the first, took 3 baths in her entire life. It's not a record. It was considered unhealthy in those days to take a bath. Okay, they associated with taking a bath with pneumonia and things of that sort. And, if you go to Haiti today, you'd find people who have pigs and chickens in their living room. And the living room has a dirt floor. Okay. And you say, well, I couldn't live that way. John Wesley's England, that's how the peasants lived. You had pigs and chickens in their living room. They walk around and they have no idea what cleanliness is. John Wesley invented the phrase, cleanliness is next to godliness. Because he had to teach people. So he would come into an area and he would preach, and these coal miners and these farmers and absolute drunkards would come in and get saved and come to the society, but the lord of the manor got saved. Okay? And his attendant ladies got saved. And the banker got saved. And now they're all in the society together. And the lord of the manor is telling Wesley, look, it's not that I'm prejudiced, but they got lice and they stink. All right? And they're sitting next to me and I stink when I leave. And so Wesley invented the social worker, where he brought people in to teach these people how to live, how to clean, how to take care of themselves. Peter Ruckman said that John Wesley was probably one of the 3 holiest men to have ever lived in the Christian age. And one of the reasons, I don't know if I agree with that, but certainly he'd be in the top 20. But one of the reasons I say that, at one point he comes into a Methodist society and the workers came and said, Mr. Wesley, we're having a terrible time here with tea. With tea? All Englishmen drink tea. We're trying to get everybody to stop drinking it. Well, he thought that was the dumbest thing he ever heard. Okay? What is this? Trying to get it. They said, no. They said, the poor in this village, we have gone through, and most of the poor now are coming to church, and we have taught them to take their money, to tithe, to pay their taxes, to pay their rent, to buy food. But for the poor in this village, there is not enough money to buy tea afterwards. So we go into their house, find out they're being evicted, but they have tea. They didn't pay their rent, they bought tea. Then when we tell them, you're not to buy tea, but so-and-so buys tea, they're so ignorant they're not getting it. All they see is this person has more money than he's buying tea, why can't I have tea? And so the social workers asked, hey, you people that have your lives together, know how to budget, would you quit drinking tea for a while for their sake? When Wesley heard that, he said, from this moment on, I will drink no more tea again. And when you follow his, and they drank a lot of tea in those days, it was heavily caffeinated. When you follow his journal, he went through days of headaches, not having his tea. But to him, it was so important that those poor people, for their sakes, and that's what 1 Corinthians 8 says, others' conscience, not your own conscience, okay? So the point is, we're here in a church with people who are learning skills that you think are baby and should have been learned in the first grade, okay? But they didn't learn. And they're here amongst us. And it's our honor that they're amongst us. It's my joy that they're amongst us, all right? I believe it's to the joy of the Father that they're amongst us, okay? And believe me, some of them will tell you, I give them a hard time, all right? I mean, I do. I'll go up, I'll confront them and give them a hard time and this and that and everything else because that's my job to do that. But I'll give you a hard time for not understanding, all right? It's one of those things. So the thing is, you come into the house of God and are you willing to be defrauded? Are you willing to have somebody wrong you, okay? And just let it go. Now, that same person, don't be a fool, you know, Charlie Brown. Lucy told him, I won't move the football, Charlie Brown. All right? And the day Charles Schulz died, there was a cartoon in the paper that showed Charlie Brown. The little redheaded girl talked to him. Lucy let him kick the ball. And everybody said, you're in heaven, Charlie Brown. You know, the day Charles Schulz died. But again, it's that idea. There are certain people who do not have the character, the maturity to do business relations with other people. They don't know how to do it. They don't have that. It's to our honor that they're amongst us. If you can't take being burnt by that person, don't do business with that person. Okay? If you do business with that person and it goes wrong, go talk to that person. If they don't understand it, go get three other people, okay? Talk to that person about it again and then ask yourself, are they just being belligerent and mean? Because keep in mind, you grew up in one of those welfare houses, you learn what belligerent and mean really means, okay? One of the reasons I love the Cuba Rushford School, and I mean, I love those people. I have been in parent-teacher conferences there, for example, when Randy first came and lived with us and such. And I remember one time leaving one of those conferences, and there was a social worker leaving with me, and I asked her, I said, does it seem to you that they're taking responsibility and care above and beyond what's normal? And she said, there is no school in Allegheny County. She said, I have 12 schools that I deal with. There is no school that does what this school does. No school that does it. And one of the things, for example, many of the teachers had a book they passed out. It was called Generational Poverty. And the idea is that boy that came to school and he didn't have a pencil and you chewed him out and said, everybody's to bring a pencil to the school and you give him a pencil and the next day he doesn't have a pencil. Well, did it ever occur to you that when he got off the school bus that day that mom had a new boyfriend, brought three new kids home? Now he has to sleep on the couch. And one of them's a bully. And some kid's wet in his bed in there. And you're mad at him because he didn't bring his pencil to school. Did it ever occur to you that maybe he's dealing with things you can't even begin to imagine? Okay? And that social worker told me there is no school, like the Cuba Rushford School, that paid that kind of attention to their students to try to dig in and understand what's really going on in this person's life. Why is it like it is? Okay? And if they can do it, why can't we?
That's good.
All right? They can do it, why can't we do it here? And again, that doesn't mean that you have to be a mat for them to walk over. Okay, you don't have to be that, okay? But at the same time, you better be able to have just a little bit more character about you and a little bit more sense and understanding about you to how to handle some of that. You know, I love it. Peter brings 3-4, you know, kids that come with him or whatever else. And some of them come from homes like that where they're swapping around who's the new brother, who's the new sister. You know, cousin's living here now and suddenly mom's got a different boyfriend or dad's got a different girlfriend or something of that sort. Have an understanding, all right? Understand that they're kind of going through some struggles here. Things aren't the same for them, okay? You know, it's wonderful if little girls can grow up and get a doll and learn to play with it. And other little girls play with it. And they cut out little things and put them and make little doll houses and that. And then maybe wear a pretty little party dress somewhere and go here and there. But you realize we have women in this church, they never had a life like that. They never had a time when people gave them little dolls and they played with them. Or if they did, they had a brother that stole it and smashed it or whatever else. And they had no idea what it was like to grow up normal and have any of that stuff. And the closest they'll ever come to knowing what that is to be part of the Black Creek Baptist Church and to watch, okay, and to see, all right? The idea is this. Learn to judge things internally within the church. Okay? Internally. And learn to do it with compassion. And if it's the first time you're having business deals with somebody and you feel defrauded, try to handle it with a few people. And if that person, they just can't see it. And I've had people who can't. They can't see it. They might see it 2 years from now, but today they cannot see it. They're angry. They feel they're being picked on. Are you willing to be defrauded? You'd take the same amount of money and you'd give it to a missionary going to Africa. You'd take the same amount of money and you'd give it to somebody working in the inner city. Can you take the same amount of money and allow yourself to be defrauded? Can you do that? Okay. Now, the thing is, you're going to be careful. You're not just going to go lightly do business with that person again. But neither are you going to make it seem like there's some kind of a leper that I won't do business with, all right? Learn to have compassion. Now, go back to Matthew 18. Verse 16. You've taken a few people, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses may every word be established. And if they shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. So back to 1 Corinthians 6. If the church, let's say that Kyle and I really did have a problem over a car and it's turned bitter, okay? And I can't let it go. I feel like, you know, Kyle knows better, whatever else, so I take a few people together. They won't. I'm finally going to say, look, I want the elders in the church to get together on this. And they realize that, you know, Pastor, you're the one being the jerk here, all right? Look, he even wrote it down on the bill of sale, all right? He wrote it down. You're the one being the jerk on this. If I can't see that, okay, then the church is just say, Pastor, we don't want you around anymore, okay? This is as obvious as can be. We've made a judgment on this. You don't like that judgment. We don't want you to be around here. All right? You're not worthy to be our pastor. You shouldn't be part of this fellowship. You don't want to do that. Okay? And let me tell you something. When two people argue, I've never seen a time when one person was 100% wrong and the other one was 100% right. I don't think I've ever seen that in my entire life. Okay? Usually it's about 70-30. And the person who's 30% right can't let it go because of that 30%. All right? But you did walk back through the door. You did. And they can't get that out of their head. That's right, I did walk back through the door, but that doesn't mean you should have poured boiling hot water on me, all right? You know, or something of that sort. You know, but if you listen to people, neither one's entirely wrong, neither one's entirely right. Okay? There's ways to handle that. There's ways to be part of that, okay? And part of it is you're part of a church family. Avail yourself of that, all right? My kids that argue, they'd run, Mom! You know, they're part of a family, all right? And you know what I loved the other day? I walked in here, Brother Koontz is working, and I heard a child screaming and crying. Now, Brother Koontz wasn't even the least bit interested that one of his children was screaming and crying. So I walk by, I look in the nursery, and there's a train track out, and four kids are playing in it, and one of the children felt that they're not being treated fairly, and she just screamed. And you know what? The other kids just ignored her. Just ignored it. About 10 minutes later, I walk by, they're all playing fine. You don't know how to make that permanently bitter? Get adults involved. That's why the Bible says, in malice be ye children. You know why? Children don't hold malice. Children are going to do the most horrible arguing in the world and 5 minutes later be best of friends. Okay? And the best thing is just work it out. Okay? My brother Frank always had that thing, all the kids that argue, so, well, why don't you guys just go in the other room and work it out between yourselves? I don't want to get involved with this. I like that. You know, it's just a good thing, all right? Church people need to learn to do that, okay? They need to learn to do it. All right. Verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, he'd already told this to Peter. All right, Peter's the one, in fact, I did some preaching on this last week, showing you why Peter could lay hands on the Samaritans and them get the Holy Ghost. Then, when he goes and preaches to Cornelius, he's shocked. Cornelius got the Holy Ghost. That's right, Peter, you lunkhead, you unlocked it. All right, you're the one who has the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And this is a very abused verse with people who feel that they've inherited this right. All right. That Peter had. The Amish, for example, abused that verse. All right, they really believe that when they wrote down here that every woman will have this many buttons on her blouse, you know, that now it's bound in heaven, and the woman who doesn't have that many buttons, she's guilty in heaven over. And they believe that. Okay, Joe Kahn talks about in his autobiography, "The Amish, My People." He talks about at one point coming back, trying to reconcile again with the Amish community that he was part of, and moving back in with his dad, and him and his dad building a carriage together, and he's doing everything he can to be part of it. And a neighbor came by and measured, and it was 1 inch higher off the ground than it was supposed to be, okay? And just shattered him, okay? Just shattered him, because how are you gonna make a carriage to go down that inch, you know? And, you know, but it's one of those things here where that neighbor believed he's going to hell for that, okay? Because we bound it together on earth, therefore he has to do that, okay? So many of your Orthodox or Catholic churches believe that. They believe they have that power to set things. Now everybody has to do it exactly that way, okay? And the point is, these apostles did have that kind of authority. It's apostolic authority. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, surely the signs of an apostle were wrought amongst you, okay? What were those signs, okay? The healing, raising people from the dead, okay? The various things he had. But then he said this, but the seal of mine apostleship are ye and the Lord. If anybody else is wondering whether or not, you know, I'm an apostle, ask yourself, are you in the Lord today? And he can say that. The average pastor in a Baptist church today, if that was the only proof he had of his calling, would have no proof. Because they don't have anybody in his church that got saved under anything. Okay? And just, if you don't believe that, go visit the next 22 Baptist churches you come to and find out which of those good members sitting there amongst it, or anybody scrambling trying to learn, got saved underneath that pastor. And you're going to find that they don't have anybody like that. Okay? But regardless of that, this is an apostolic authority given here. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I thank God I never had that. I can't imagine the idiocy I had to come up with 20 years ago. All right? I can't even begin to imagine some of the dumb decisions I would have made and bound here and there. All right? Now, going on verse 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you, you apostles, shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now listen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. All the new versions change that to the effective prayer. No, the effectual prayer. Effectual prayer is something that by a covenant, by a legal decree, has the rights to do what it's going to do. Okay? Those apostles could get together and pray for something and the very ground would shake where they stood. Okay? They could get together and pray for those things and God would do it. It's effectual prayer. It's prayer according to a covenant. You can have effectual prayer if you can find the will of God. Okay? You can find the will of God. When Pastor Hayne knew it was the will of God to start the Grace Bible Church, I'll bet he had much effectual prayer at that point because he had the will of God. Okay? He's not just out there for his little desires here and there. He knew this is the will of God. Now suddenly prayer is working in that direction. Is it the will of God for the Kuntzes to raise their children godly? Yes, therefore he'll have much effectual prayer, a covenant with God. God will bless that prayer. God will work that. But if you just think you can sit there and pray in millions for this or millions for that, don't be deceived. Okay? Prayer needs to be according to the will of God. And in the will of God, God will, there are certain things, he'll just not do it if nobody asks. And James said that. You have not because you ask not. Okay? You know, the Apostle Paul said, pray for us that the word of God may go forth and have, with free course. You don't think God wants the Apostle Paul to have free course with the word of God? Why is he asking for prayer? Because God set it up with the priesthood of the believer that there's certain things that God's not going to have happen if the people don't pray for it. Okay? When Abraham got his wife back, you know what the Lord told the king of Gerar? Go to the man, he'll pray for you. What do you mean? I'm talking to you right now, God. Why do I have to go to that man? Because God set him up to do it, to make intercession. When God came down to straighten Job and his friends out, he told his friends, he told them, he's talking to them. You go to Job, he'll make sacrifice for you. Do you realize the apostles have said that you're part of the priesthood of the believer? That's one of the things that you are. You have that right to come before the throne of God boldly, and that you can intercede, and that you have that kind of right with God with prayer, but you better do it according to the will of God, not your own little whims. Okay? I don't know how many people I've met who really talk like they believe in Jesus, but inwardly they're bitter because God doesn't answer their prayers. I was told whatsoever I asked, I'd have it. And none of that worked for them. And they're, you know, so they give God lip service with their mouth. But if you watch their lives, they don't really believe anything. Okay? And a lot of it's because they've been taught wrong. You find the will of God. What's the will of God? Well, that you should abstain from fornication, that you know how to have your vessel in honor. Okay? I'll bet you God would answer those kind of prayers. Okay? Well, that's the will of God. Okay? Study to be quiet. You say you run your mouth too much. I'll bet you God would honor that kind of prayer. It's in the will of God, all right? Learning how to speak and when not to speak. Find what the will of God is. That's effectual prayer. You're praying according to a covenant. Father, thank you for what we've learned this morning. And I do pray and ask that you bless Brother Kuntz as he preaches here at the 11 and bless that teen service. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.